Dearly beloved in Christ, yesterday was commemorated the baptism of our Lord, and we might reflect on our own baptisms. Most likely, we don't remember the actual events, as most of us were infants at the time who needed sponsors, or godparents, as they are called, to answer the questions for us. But we can reflect on the duties we now have as baptized Catholics and the privilege which was bestowed upon us when the words of baptism were pronounced by the priest and the water was being poured over our heads, namely, the privilege of becoming members of the mystical body of Christ by our baptisms. And as for the obligations, we must see to it once we have attained the use of reason that we avoid sin and follow the commandments and precepts of God in the Church. We must preserve our baptismal innocence throughout our lives by rigorous warfare. It will be a hard-won battle, of that we can be sure, but we can also be sure that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and all the saints will be at our sides to assist us when the fight begins. As they say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. But we don't need to work out our salvation alone. In fact, we can't do it alone. And the one saint in heaven, above all the saints in heaven, the one most likely responsible for saving the most souls, will be ever ready to help us and to pray for us to her Son. Yes, it is Mary, the Mother of God, the Virgin of Virgins, the Queen of Heaven and Earth. When it seems that it is impossible to preserve the spotless brilliance of our baptismal innocence, when it seems that all hell is bent upon causing us to fall or even to falter a little, turn to Mary, say a Hail Mary, and keep saying the Hail Mary. When all hope seems lost, when, to quote a hymn in our parish hymn books, which speaks of the intercession of Our Lady, when the banners of darkness are boldly unfurled, and further on it says, and the tempest-tossed church, all her eyes are on thee, they look to thy shining sweet star of the sea. Another thought that comes to mind is the presentation of the infant Jesus in the temple. St. Luke says, and they carried him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And Vercussi writes, according to this law, added to that of the purification, the parents were obliged to bring their firstborn to offer him to God and to redeem him with 5 shekels, or 100 oboli, in token of gratitude that the destroying angel had spared the firstborn of the Hebrews on the night on which he struck dead those of the Egyptians. This law plainly teaches us that God loves, or rather exacts from us, a grateful remembrance of our preservation from harm and of the favors which he has poured upon us. Recall to your mind the evils of the body and the soul that God has averted from you, and the innumerable favors, both of nature and grace, which he has poured upon you. And ask yourself, has my gratitude been always in proportion to so many benefits? Have I at least preserved a grateful remembrance of them? What shall I render to the Lord for all the things that he has rendered unto me? From the Psalms. The offering that Mary made of her Son was in every respect infinitely more perfect than that of the other mothers. For them, the presentation and the redemption of their firstborn was but an act of obedience to the law. It was a legal ceremony followed by a feast or a family rejoicing which occupied the greater part of the day. Mary, on the contrary, in reality, offered and sacrificed her well-beloved child to the Lord as a victim, which was one day to be immolated for the redemption of the world, and with a heart full of sublime feelings. She spent the day in recollection, prayer, and good works, without omitting anything which propriety demanded. Let us endeavor, like Mary, to render our offerings pleasing to the Lord, making them in a spirit of faith and love. Let us also celebrate worthily the Lord's Day and the principal feasts of the year. These holy days are nothing more, alas, to many Christians who abstain from profaning them than days of relaxation, of enjoyment and good cheer. And the beautiful ceremonies of the Church are only to them pious amusements. How few there are who sanctify these holy days as as they ought to be sanctified. Does not the conscience reproach you on this point? And if you are guilty, humble yourself profoundly before God. But while Mary presented and offered up to the Lord her dear child, he, possessing the full and perfect use of his reason, though he did not let it appear, offered himself by Mary's hands to God, his Father, as the most worthy victim, of which all the preceding ones had been only the types. Jesus willed that his whole mortal life, not excepting his tenderest infancy, should be a continual immolation of himself, an uninterrupted act of love. And we have begun so late to love him, to devote ourselves to his divine service. Would that when we had consecrated ourselves to God, we would have had less tepidity and unfaithfulness wherewith to reproach ourselves. Nevertheless, far from being discouraged, we should, with the aid of his grace, endeavor to repair our past errors and negligence by increased fervor and generosity. And let us resolve to do so henceforth. There is an important lesson to take from this, and that is that we ought to ask Mary to present our prayers to God for us. I once read an analogy comparing the intercession of Mary to a queen who is much admired and loved by a king, and compared ourselves to some lowly peasants. Now, if the peasant wished to have his request granted by the king, he would undoubtedly go to the queen, knowing that she would graciously hear his request and present this request to the king, who would give the peasant what he desired on account of the love the king had for his queen. Likewise, if we, the peasants, wish to have our prayers answered by the King of Kings, then let us go to Mary. She will present our prayers to Jesus in the manner most pleasing to God. We must go to Jesus through Mary. Another event that took place during the presentation was, of course, the prophecy of Simeon. St. Luke tells us that there was in Jerusalem a man named Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. On this, Verrucus asks, how was it that the holy old man came into the temple at the precise day, hour, and moment when Mary entered with her divine child? Because he was led by the Spirit of God, who, by secret inspirations, guided all his steps and all his actions, a favor that he had merited by his piety, his ardent faith, and his habitual docility to the inspirations of grace. From this, we should take away the important point that we need to become holy. We need to remain in the state of grace if we are to receive those pivotal graces from God. Yes, of course, God will give us the necessary means for salvation. It's just up to us to accept and to act upon those graces. But this meeting of Simeon with our Lord only happened because of his great piety and holiness before God. Might we not miss out on some wonderful grace which we could have received from God if we had been more fervent? Of course, the example that jumps to mind is that of reception of the Blessed Sacrament. Those who receive it worthily will indeed receive an increase in sanctifying grace. But to those who not only receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ worthily, but also with as much fervor and attention as they can, with greater piety, contrition, and humility, to these God will bestow his choice graces. And perhaps we will get to enjoy a wonderful moment in our own lives that we otherwise would have missed out on if we had been caught up with our own satisfaction and so embroiled with our own interests. So as always, let us call upon the Blessed Virgin Mary to present our prayers to our Father who is in heaven and to assist us in preserving our souls pure and spotless in the sight of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.